5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
easy money.
The all-new Panic Room Radio Show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, 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 good evening, one and all. It is the new Panic Room, episode 310 on the... Oh, it's May the 4th. It's Star Wars Day. It took me a while to cotton on to that, but... It is. It's a happy Star Wars Day to everyone. And they should do a Star Trek Day as well, but I'm not sure. I could never decipher the star dates that was on the captain's log each week, so I'm not sure when the hell that would be, but maybe somebody could call in and let me know. That'd be fantastic. And anyway, I've missed her this week. It's been a long week, so here she is.
Rough. We had that flat tire on Monday, and we were just heading home from lunch, and we went through some little construction thing going on, and just a little while later, you know, I was starting to lose the tire pressure, and mm-hmm. Oh, crap, can we make it home? And then there's a bridge coming up, and so no, we weren't going to make it home, so we pulled over, and it happened to be freaking spring now, so you would think it would be nice and warm, and that day was freaking freezing and windy, and oh, it was miserable, just miserable. So
we've had a fair bit of stormy, cold weather this week. I mean, yesterday was nice. Today again was, it was a bit overcast, and you know, it was a bit. This is Houston, you know. It was overcast and a bit miserable, but I was still out and about in my t-shirt.
It
wasn't like hat
thing.
And coat
yeah.
weather. It was all, you know, put a slightly thicker t-shirt on, you know. So
I had a sweater
yeah.
on and everything, and I was still freezing. So I mean, it was
oh,
super
really?
Cold. I
oh,
think
wow.
it was only like I think it was only like in the I'm going to say 40s or maybe low 50s. So I mean, and the wind
oh,
made it
Lord.
Really
yeah.
really cold.
Well,
yeah,
yesterday,
so,
well,
yeah.
yesterday afternoon, it was my car. The thermometer on my car was 99. It was reading.
Oh my gosh!
So
oh,
it was nice hot, and then today it was back down to sort of mid 70s, which for here is cold. You know, it was cold. So
And it was warm today, but I mean, when I say warm, I don't think it even got into the 70s yet, but it was still high 60s with like the sun, so that makes it feel warm. And seriously, when I was cooking dinner, I was like, I am sweating, and I was not happy. And so I don't know if I'm going to make it this summer. I really fear
now. Yeah, it's going to be a miserable summer for you. But
I mean, I'm hoping that I never see like 99. And that is the one, you know, one of the things I just love about Tennessee is that, you know, we get hot. But we don't get, like, you know, 99 degrees hot. Nothing
yeah,
that's, like that.
That's,
so.
That's in early
that.
May, so you can imagine what it's going to be like in a couple of months. But, I'm slowly turning into a British person, you know that. We talk, it's our big thing. We just talk about the weather a lot.
Oh, my word.
Know.
I can't remember I can't remember what it was, but my husband said, do you realize that you just said whatever it was? I was talking about I was going to make a phone call or somebody was going to call me, I think. And I said, oh, yeah, I said I was going to ring them up. And he was like, you're going to do what? I'm going to ring them up.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Americans don't say that. So.
No. The one that always gets me is Americans fill out a form Brits fill in a form, which makes more sense because you fill in the little boxes, you don't fill them out. And it's just like, well,
it's,
you know, it took
true,
me a while
yeah.
I've filled out a form actually to protest my property tax hike. And it's all fill out the form. You can fill out the form online. I just want to put a big cross on it, a big red cross, and say, you know, and correct it. So now you fill
you
it
know,
in, you idiot.
Yeah, yeah. There are certain things that you guys say that I just think are so. I love them. Like if you're tired, I'm knackered. I love that.
Knackered.
That is like.
Yeah.
Seriously tired. That's like crazy tired. So I'm going to keep that one. I like that one. And then
it's one of those words that, I mean, knackered can be tired or knackered can be broken. You know, if your car's knackered, it's broken. It's one of those. Men has a few sort of different meanings. Yeah. Or knackered. Knackers testicles.
That's wow, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, the testicles, yeah, in British land.
And another one that I love is gutted. I told one of the guests for the show I had to cancel the show or something. And no, he missed the show. That's what it was. He missed the show. And afterwards, he was like, I am gutted. And I'm like, I love that word. Because it's not just, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. Or oh, I hate that I missed that.
I'm a little
gutted.
Disappointed. Yeah.
That's a little disappointed because I felt that in my soul that he was just gutted.
Oh,
so
I mean, yeah, because
you're
gutted. I mean, it is. It's
I love that. So
yeah.
I'm going to adopt
one of my favorites was not long after we moved here, we sort of made friends with some neighbor people, and the guy, he started calling me wanker. He thought it was a term of endearment, you know, like saying, all right, mate, you know. And I actually say, no, it's not a nice thing. I mean, I didn't mind or offend him. He said, all right, I'm doing wanker. No, just don't. It's one of those things, you call it, you know, like a really, in fact, my best friends at school, through middle school, I call him wanker. Just because, you know, because I love the guy, you know, we were best mates and that. He called me Batman, I call him wanker. I'd probably sit and watch that show, Batman and Wanker. I would sit and watch that.
Oh my god!
Genuinely, what a great Marvel DC crossover show that would be.
Guess what we watched today? We watched Beavis and Butthead. They have new shows now. They have new shows. Yeah, and they show Beavis and Butthead as like. They go flashbacks where it's, you know, the kids that we knew. And then they do an older version of Beavis and Butthead. And, like, Butthead's gotten really fat. Beavis pretty much looks the same, but just a little bit older.
Oh, wow.
So
it
is just as awful as it was back then. And there were 3 episodes that we had not seen yet. And we started watching, and we made it through about an episode and a half before we were like, I don't think we can do all of it. It's just so mind-numbingly dumb. I mean, sometimes it's okay to have something kind of
silly. That's the point, though, isn't it? That is the point.
It is.
It
was frying the little brain cells that I had left.
Sometimes that happens. You know, you think you can't. I did it recently with a British TV show I came across. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I used to love that. I used to love that when I was younger. And you just realize just how bad some of these things were, you know. But I mean, obviously, they haven't changed. They haven't just become bad. Obviously, it's our taste sort of changes as life goes on, but...
Yeah.
But I'm still desperately searching for an American comedy show that will make me laugh. It's been a long and fruitless search, and still no joy.
I'm still, Friends. I just that's my comfort show. I watch it every day. Still,
it's not a laugh out loud show, certainly for me, not a laugh. It's a wry smile. I mean, I enjoy Young Sheldon. I really enjoy the show, but it's more of a wry smile or sometimes a slight snort. It's not a good laugh like Blackadder or The Young Ones, a lot of the British comedy show, Ricky Gervais stuff, the stuff that makes you laugh out loud. To be fair, Family Guy. You know, will make me laugh. Even the repeats. But, you know, that's a cartoon, so I'm not sure if that counts or not. Plus as well, Family Guy's a lot of fart jokes, and make me laugh every time. Never fails. Can't be the good fart joke.
I definitely think that's a guy thing because the husband too, he laughs at, you know, things like that. And I'm like, really? Really?
Speaking as a zoologist, you know, who's obviously studied evolution and all the rest of it. Obviously, you know, we all our behavioral traits and physical traits, psychology, all these traits have evolved over the years, over the generations and millions of years. You know, to aid our survival, and I'd love to know what survival advantage finding farts funny gives us as a species. You fart in front of the dog, and he just looks at you like, you dirty fucker. Seriously, you dirty, dirty person. But the dog farts, and I'm doubled up. I'm just the he actually farted. He was sleeping on the couch next to me, farted himself awake, and I couldn't stop chuckling for ages. I was just chuckling because you just wake up and you look at you like, what was that? Was that you? Was that you? You know, and so there must be some evolutionary. Somebody needs to a PhD thesis on this. Why we find farts amusing? Why, what helped us evolve. Maybe that's the secret of the human race's success. It's not a larger brain or speech or anything. It's the fact that we find farts incredibly funny.
Well, you guys do, but I can't remember the last time you laughed.
You hear a joke, yeah, and you laugh at it. Yeah, good, funny joke. You laugh at it. You hear it again, and yeah, it's still funny. After about the third or fourth time, it ain't funny anymore. Farts.
Right.
You know, I've been laughing at farts for my entire life. Probably will die laughing at farts. And it's just a fart, you know. And they're all pretty. I mean, different varieties, but it's a fart. But it's still funny, and that's what I don't get. Why is it still funny? After you've heard third or fourth fart, it shouldn't be funny anymore.
I think we should ask our guests that very question. I think that they're probably listening, and they need to make notes and come prepared to answer that question for us.
Yeah, we need sort of professor of farts from Oxford University to call in and. And give us the theories. I think we need to get hold of that person. So
I can get behind that. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So that's your task. See if you can get Professor of Farts from Oxford University or Cambridge. You know, either one.
Working on it.
I'll work on it. Get them on the show, and we can have a whole hour and a half discussing farts and why we find them funny. So, anywho, I could talk about farts all night. That's the noise of my old dog bus. Can you hear him? He's under my desk dreaming, bless him. So I'm not going to disturb him. So what have we got on the show this evening, Xtina?
Yeah, this is we're going to have a fun show tonight. Last week, we just, me and you just sat around and talked about everything and nothing, and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was fun. It was good. We talked about Hellbound books, and that was great.
Yes.
Not often. We don't do that anywhere near enough.
That's true. So, but tonight we have a couple of guests, and I'm really excited. I'm just going to introduce our first guest, and we're going to go from there. So get ready to push the button.
Go for it.
Yeah,
I'm poised.
So.
I'm poised like I'm like a coiled spring. I really am.
Our first guest of the evening, we have fantasy writer Raven Ekman.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. What a fabulous name. I'm going to steal your name. I want to be called Raven Ekman now because it is a brilliant, brilliant name. I love it. So from now on, Xtina has to call me Raven. It's what, sorry?
Okay, that's okay.
I think in all the years we've done the show, he's only said that to about two or three guests that he was going to steal their name, and he hasn't yet. So I'm you're safe. But he does not say that very often.
You'll have to listen in next
time. right, that's true. So where are you calling in from, Raven?
I am actually in Pennsylvania.
Oh, is it still cold up there?
Yes. Put all of my winter stuff away because we had straight in a row, 80 degree weather. I was loving it, right? And then it went down to 30.
I was like,
I guess I should get my clothes back out.
Oh, no. Yeah, pretty much same here. I think a week or so ago we were, it was already, hot. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to suffer this this summer. And then back down. And I like the cold weather. So when it goes back down, I'm all excited. And, I get to wear a sweater again and socks. And, yeah, so it's kind of weird, but... And I don't enjoy the weather. I don't want to be out in it. I just want to, enjoy it from, the couch, So when I say I like the cold weather, I'm not a monster. I don't want to be out in it. So I just want to, enjoy
it. You admire
it. Yeah,
okay.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And snow, bring on the snow as long as I don't have to go out in it. That's just, craziness there. So.
I know, I don't like to drive in the snow.
No, of course not. Raven is here to talk to us about her book, Shadow Speak, Once There Was a Girl Who Spoke to Shadows. Tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. So it started as a kind of like what would happen if the Vikings show met a prostitution, like a ring kind of thing, and kind of like in the life of like if somebody escaped, what would happen, and like it kind of evolved from there, introducing like world, like old world culture, religion, and like in a fantasy setup. So basically the premise is that her father, Rune's father, sells her to a brothel in this mystical city that kind of has like no rules to it. Like it has its own rules and setup, but it didn't really follow along with the slow moderation of everybody around them town-wise. Mm-hmm. And she survives like living in this brothel, being under the mistress is like kind of, I don't want to say right hand, but like living under her. And then when she escapes, she's like, that's it. Like, I'm not going back. Like, I mean, obviously she escaped, right? But then mm-hmm. she is asked to go back to rescue a prince that was kidnapped and going to be kind of sacrificed into one of their rituals that they have.
Wow.
And then off she goes. Like, will she make it? Yeah. Who are the shadows? Like, what does she see? Who is she talking to? Mm-hmm. A bunch of, like, I played around with memories and flashbacks, so a lot of it's kind of, like, where she has slips where she's remembering when she was there, but she's maybe not there, or different things mm-hmm. from her childhood.
Now, this is this a standalone, or is it going to be series? Because it definitely sounds like there could be more than just one book out of this.
Oh, well, that's the funny thing. That's a great question, because I actually, when I wrote it, was like, okay, standalone, like, boom, done with it. However, mm-hmm. I am working on a prologue, or at least considering a prologue. I have some really rough pages typed up of the monsters, and I use that word tentatively, monsters, in Shadowseek would get, like, their origin story.
Nice. Yeah, I think go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and then if there would be, then there would be the third book where, like, everybody, monsters, main characters, and Shadowseek would kind of all come together in the third.
Yeah, I've said this before on our show, whenever we have a fantasy or any kind of sci-fi writer or something, that I just admire it so much, because it's like you're creating a whole world, you know, and I just don't know how you do it. But yeah, it seems like, you know, if you take all the time to create this world, that there's definitely more to do with it. So, yeah, I'm excited. I want to hear more. Do you have you're going to read for us an excerpt?
Yes. I may butcher or skip over the Icelandic that I incorporated. So, I mean, I don't embarrass myself too much, right, on live radio. But I do have an excerpt.
Okay. It's all yours.
All right. So it's from my prologue, to say the beginning, and then once there was a girl who spoke to shadows. The rain goes from something violent to a slow, steady drizzle. Securing the drenched, moth-eaten cloak more firmly around my shoulders, I keep my head down in a display of learned obedience. The action conceals my fear, even as the shadows beckon me to play. My toes curl self-consciously, my thin boots disturbing the wet leaves beneath me as Papa's muttering grows in volume. He had dragged me from bed around midnight, throwing my cloak and boots at my feet as I blink sleep from my eyes. We've been walking for hours, dawn teasing among the folds of rain. The path has long since grown uncharted, our clothes laden with rain. Fear prickles its fingers along my spine at the first etching I see, dug deep into the bark of an old pine tree. It watches, in our long silence, only to flinch when his voice rises with distress. It always comes back to the dead. Only a handful of times has Papa slipped back into his ancestral language over the years, a language that I held close and buried deep because something told me I wasn't supposed to know it. Mama never spoke it, nor Anik. Papa. The hand thrust against my lips took me by surprise. I've been telling him, or trying to tell him, about playing with my shadow friends today. Wide-eyed watched the fear turn into anger as Papa dragged me from the doorway and back outside. cigar peeked out from the tree lines of the forest. One waved, and I waved back. Papa grunted. Stop it, Marie. My hand falling to my side, I started filling with the muddy skirt of my dress, digging my toes into the dirt. I'm sorry, Papa said then, as he crouched before me. His face twisted in apology. He couldn't see the shadows like I could. He told me so. I wished he could. Then he'd understand and not me.
I like that. And I have to say, you read that really, really well. You know, we talked about this prior to the show, and I was like, I just get faster and faster, and then you can't understand me at all. And you did not do that. You did amazing. So thank you.
Thank you.
No, that was really good. And I hate it when they stop, because I just want more. I want to just, you know, just, I'm going to sit here while you just read to us, and that'd be fun. But what gave you the inspiration for this? Right. Yes. Yes.
So I had said earlier, kind of like a Vikings prostitution. It was kind of in college, it was either Vikings or like crime shows, because one of my roommates was a criminal justice major. So she always had crime shows on. And then I liked Vikings, and like my grandmother and I watched Vikings together. So it got it started with the whole, like, if somebody was in the prostitution ring and then they got out, like how kind of like flashback, trauma, PTSD, that kind of thing, like you would see in a crime show. And then it evolved where I wanted Vikings and, like, religion, like, mythology, because I love studying that, and I'm an English major, so it's kind of like it just made sense to me. Mm-hmm. And I went from, like, a contemporary setting to a fantasy setting that slowly evolved with, like, different beings and the shadows and everything like that.
Now, with the age of Rune, is this YA or is this an adult novel?
It's in that weird middle ground. So it's the whole new adult, where it's definitely 18 plus, because it does deal with different, I have a trigger, well, this trigger warnings at the very beginning, just in case, for readers. So it does deal with, like, different heavier topics, especially because of basically the setting of, like, being the brothel at the very beginning.
Right.
Because she has her at 10, and then she's, like, 18. But then we have her brother is a character, as well as her love interest, like ex, but also love interest, right, that is older as well. So you're kind of in that college age anyway now, because you have the 18,
right,
almost
right.
19 protagonist, and then the others.
Awesome. Now, when I was looking at your Amazon page, I couldn't help but notice that you also write in other genres as well. What would you say your favorite was to write in?
Oh, that's a hard one. I love fantasy. I'm a fantasy junkie. I read fantasy, dark fantasy, regular fantasy, sometimes high fantasy. I love picture books in the sense of when I would do like story times at the library, I loved the picture books with different like magical creatures and stuff. So it's always kind of fantasy based. So my other writings that I do are picture books with a little monster. So I kind of still stick with like a magic in some way theme.
You must have been a huge Harry Potter fan, right? Do you like Harry Potter?
I do. I fell in love with Percy Jackson. That series kind of like really pulled me in, because I didn't like reading for the longest time. I actually kind of despised it until right before I started high school. And then I kind of dove into everything.
Yeah, you know, I've never been a huge fan, I don't think, of fantasy, and it's really weird when I say why. It's because, you know, I have to kind of believe in, you know, that you know, some of the stuff that happens. I say that, but then, like, one of my very favorite shows is Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Like, that could ever really happen. So, like, it doesn't even make sense to me. But I don't think I've ever read a fantasy that that I could get into. Maybe that was it. I like to kind of identify with, you know, the main character and I'm gonna have to give it more of a try though, because I loved, and I actually read the excerpt before you did, as well. And I think it was good. I want to find out what these shadows are that she's seeing, and you know, so I'm gonna have to ask you when we get off the show, and you'll tell me, right?
Yeah, right. I got you.
right. Yeah. So what are you working on now?
So I actually just finished my master's degree, and I, like, turned in my thesis, so, like, my brain's kind of in a fog.
Mm-hmm.
but I do plan on, if there's two projects, so it's either the prologue for, or one off prologue, the prequel for Shadow Seek, that series, and or a contemporary magic realism piece. But they would both be still on, like, the new adult.
Contemporary magic realism. That sounds really interesting. What is that actually?
So I'm doing, it's all modern day. So it's kind of like there's, like, I had a mention of, like, TikTok and, like, different things like that. You're kind of taking a character like Death, for example, and he's watching, like, the modernization of things and witches groups, so covens, and then, like, how that all turns out.
I had a really awful moment on the show one time where a guest was talking about her historical romance, and I think I asked her, so what time was this? So, like, you know, it was just awful because I don't think I heard her say historical, so, you know, I was like, it's contemporary, or, yeah, it's awful. So...
Hey, I mean, you never know. Yeah. It's like it's
right.
A
if you can't
range.
Laugh
it could
at yourself,
be like
yeah.
10 years, 20 years, yeah.
We do talk about that sometimes on the show when it comes to, like, horror, and how it's a little more challenging to write a horror story in, you know, present day, because you're so, you know, you got cell phones and just things that, you know, you can easily call for help or, you know, something, and how it's a little more challenging now. Do you ever encounter something like that where, you know, the modern day technology that we have actually hampers your writing?
Yes. So I know for myself, when I'm writing, I love, like, listening to music and kind of having, like, I know a lot of people have, like, the playlist that they listen to that kind of inspires their characters and stuff. But I also do, like, Pinterest boards just to kind of, like, the character inspiration of, like, trying to visualize it, not just in my head, but also seeing something. But at the same time, it's equally distracting. Like, you get one, and maybe you're listening, trying to find a song that, like, works, or trying to, like, look up a recipe or something, like, to make it make sense, obviously, while you're writing in your story. And then you just kind of get sucked in. So one second you're browsing, all, like, with a purpose, and the next is 2 hours later, and maybe you, wrote two sentences.
I think that can be said with just about any... Yes, anything online these days, and it's the same for me. When I'm working, I'll just, I need to take a quick break, so I'm just going to scroll Facebook or something, and then, oh my gosh, I don't know what it is about being sucked into some kind of online argument that has absolutely nothing to do with me, and, you know, 20 pages later, I'm like, what am I doing? I've just lost, I don't know how much time. And I don't even know any of these people, but now my heart rate is up and I'm all mad. And yeah, it's awful. Every weekend I say, I think we should do, like, a, you know, weekend free of, you know, our phones and just, like, turn them off for the weekend, you know, and I'm just bad there because I can't commit to that either. So we're addicted.
Oh,
we're addicted to our phone.
Yeah. I don't know if I could do it either. Like, I could maybe, like, I could say I would, but then I'd end up reading or something on my phone, so I'm still technically using my phone.
Yeah, and then you have the, is that considered, would that be cheating? Like, if we had our Kindle or something, I think that wouldn't, we could read, so that, you know, that's a little technicality there, I say. We wouldn't get as much.
Yeah, I agree.
As,
it's like, I'm not schooling, so...
Now, I had a question. While you're writing, when you are in the middle of a book and you're writing, do you find that you don't read as much, like, for pleasure or something? I do know that there's several of our authors that will tell us that, when they're writing, they don't read, and when they're reading, they're not writing. So, same for you?
Actually, yes. I know, like, school-wise, because I was doing school, I was only really reading books for school. So it kind of, like, took away any other time for fun things. So my to be read list is literally going to outlive me. Like, I'll die and I'll still have books on the list. Somehow try to figure to read beyond the grades. But it's true for myself, like, especially when you hit that moment when it makes sense for you in your, like, in the story, I just want to keep going. So, like, I don't want any distractions because I hit that, like, that groove. But then there's other times where if I'm really frustrated or writer's block-wise where I just can't seem to get anything down or I'm repeating myself, something like that, then I do pull from, like, my list just to kind of relax, like, take my, like, the pressure away. Because sometimes the pressure's just too much.
Yeah, yeah. Now, as far as reading goes, what would you, if you read more than one genre, what would you say would be the genre that you read that nobody would expect you to read?
Let's see. That's kind of hard. I guess because contemporary romance, and I only say that because I don't, like, I normally don't like to read just straight romance. Like, it's got to have something else in it, whether it's a mystery or a horror or a fantasy or something, right? But lately, I have been reading, of course, thanks to BookTok, I've been reading, like, sports romances where it's just a straight romance for something. And my friends would be like, are you serious right now? Because I'd always be like, I want to read straight romance. And then now they're going to be like, oh, okay, all right. So you just admitted on radio that you really read just romance now. I'll be like, yeah.
I know. I am I write dark poetry, and, like, my nickname is the Dark Poet Princess. And I have to say I have a weakness for contemporary romance as well. It's just so easy, and it's just, I don't have to think a whole lot, but I am with you. A lot of times I don't want something that's just strictly romance. Lately I've had an issue with, almost all the main characters these days are young, they're, like, in their early 20s, and I'm like, I want to identify, and I have a daughter who's 25, so I do not identify with, a 23-year-old. So we're and then any of the older characters, if they're, like, over 30, then it's considered second chance romance. I'm like, are you kidding me? So, like, I want someone to write something for, a different age group. That's especially when you think, really don't have it together in your 20s. So when I see these characters and they do have it together, I'm like, oh, you know, that's not, and of course, I'm not reading for the, how real everything is anyway. So, it's just, something I noticed.
I think I'm trying to remember the character's age, but also sending a book recommendation because it's still a contemporary romance. But it's an older character, and like you said, she does not have her life together, which I appreciated because I feel like I don't have it together most days. But I'll have to look it up through my bookshelf and pull up the name and send it to you.
Definitely, yeah. I think we are just about out of time for our first segment, and I hate this time, but you have to before we let you go, you have to tell us where we can find you online.
Okay, yes. So basically my website will have all the book links and will have every, like, social media link because I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. So it's just my name. So it's www.ravenekman.com. And then that has all the information.
Awesome. And I was going to say, when you go to make out the signed copy, that's XTINA.
Okay, I would definitely be like, spell that for me. So, like, now we're good. Okay, all right, perfect.
And to all the listeners out there,
you should at least make your promise to send you one of her books, Raven.
Okay,
at least get something out of the deal. Yes.
Thank you so much, Raven. We can't wait to have you back to the show.
Yes, thank you for having me. Have a good one.
Thank you for joining us. Have a great rest of your evening. Bye-bye. Yeah, you see, you're always on the catch for other people's books. So you need to fish a few out, you know. I don't know. Anyway, it is time for wee wees and a new bottle of Chardonnay. So off we go.
Show is brought to you by Hellbound Books Publishing, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher, along with links to all of their available works across platforms, at hellboundbookspublishing.com. In the mood for something steamy to read? Check out erotica author Jennifer Lynn at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James and Xtina at their respective websites, jameslongmore.com for James, and darkpoetprincess.com for Xtina. Don't forget to follow The Panic Room on social media. Facebook unofficial, The Panic Room Radio Show, our Vimeo channel with all of our previous shows, the new Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website, www.panicroomradio.com.
Da-da! Welcome back to part two.
Well, we are back. Do you know that that sort of bucked me up a little bit? That always cheers me up, that song. One of my favourites from the 70s, that. It's from when I was a lad.
No matter how, like, you know, sad, not sad, but how, like, tired I am, how, you know, I'm like, oh, I just don't want to do this tonight. And then you do the dueling banjos, I perk up then. Like, I start smiling. I'm like, here we go. And then I get all excited. So,
quite right,
yeah.
Quite right, too.
I know, yeah. Okay, what happens now?
I'm just trying to think what. No, I do. I know it is that time of the evening where we say,
oh, hey, looks like it's time to review something. Oh no!
Hey, it's the lovely Samantha. Hello, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you all?
We're good.
Happy that it's Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah, looking forward to the weekend. How about yourself?
Same. I'm looking forward to the weekend, too. It's been a long week.
Good.
So what do you have to review for us this week?
Well, I'm trying to catch up on my paperback books that I've let fall to the wayside. So this week I pulled out a Hellbound book, and I finished the Anthology of Splatterpunk. And I actually took this with me the other day to read at my son's ENT appointment, and I didn't think before sticking it in my purse. And there was a very old man across from me that possibly did not care so much for the cover.
It's a great cover.
It's a classic.
But, yeah. But I really love the cover, so I saw nothing wrong with this. But even my daughter was like, Mom, you have to stop. Okay, I'm so sorry. But no, this one, Christina Pfeiffer was talking to me about, like, highlighting books and stuff, and so I ordered these special midliners. They're like highlighters just for books. And so I whipped out my red one for this one, and I highlighted a bunch of stuff in the anthology I thought were, like, really good quote-wise. And there were some really good stories in here. I loved continuing education because that's what you get when you try to kidnap women running in the park. I thought that was a very, twisted, the story was twisty because it didn't end how I thought that it was going to. The Chainsaw Masquerade reminded me of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and I thought that was just awesome. And The Contest, that's about Chili and cannibals. Here lately,
nice.
Every year there's like a theme when I read books. Like last year it was dogs and books about poop. And so this year it seems like all the books I read are about cannibals. And so I was like, oh, well, we're going to add this to the list of amazing books read for the year. Well, stories read for the year. I liked The Contract, and it's about a deal with the devil. I like books like that, too, because all of them are different. Yeah. But I think my favorite out of this anthology, I'm really sorry, James, was that was The Kingdom of Blood and Miracles, because it's a book about, like, the plague and trolls, but they throw in these stories of mythology that are really cool. But I did read James's story. I read it twice, and I have to be honest, I think it was too smart for me because I don't understand what happened. And I read it twice.
Oh, maybe it was just bad writing then, because you know, if you didn't understand
I think it's definitely the reader. It's definitely not you. It's me.
You know, I remember one time somebody left a bad review, and they said, you know, that it was the author was too pompous, and they, you know, people don't talk like that. And after getting to know James and actually speaking to him, he does talk like that. So, I mean,
I do. I know.
Yeah. So when you read his books, you're like, oh, well, he actually does talk like this. He knows these words. I mean, yeah, I don't have to look them up anymore. I used to, but I don't have to do that anymore.
I refuse to dumb down. Have a vocabulary because I'm a writer, and I use my vocabulary, and I make no apologies. I mean, obviously, if the story was badly written that you didn't understand what was going on, then that's on me. But it's pretty straightforward, Samantha, to be honest, but, you know.
That's what I'm saying. I have a feeling that it's me. It's definitely not you. And I'm also on – I'm reading, like, 5 books at one time right now, and I think I'm just overloaded at this point because I was rushing to get this book done for the show because I want to move on to the bizarre one for the weekend. It's going to mess up my schedule if I don't like, push through.
And I was going to say, don't feel bad, James, because when she was on talking about Beautiful Tragedies 2, I have like 5 poems in there, and not one of them was her favorite. So we are in the same boat. Samantha does not like us.
I do have one of Tina's books. I think it's the Imperfect book that has a ton of highlights in it. I've been going back through and like highlighting books since I have the highlighters now. And my husband's like, "Why are you coloring in your books?" And it's like, "Oh, I'm not coloring." What are you talking about? I was like, "Well, this is not coloring. This is magic in the making right now. Don't talk. Don't move."
Oh, they don't understand. So just you know, have at it. Yeah.
No, but I'll tell you what's funny is I had a marker laying out earlier, and my daughter was like, "Ooh, what is this?" I said, "That's mommy's special book marker. Don't touch it." She said, "Oh, I'm so sorry."
So, as a whole, what would you give? What would you give the book? How many stars would you give it?
Probably like a good 4. I thought there were a lot of stories in here that I vibed with. There were a couple that like just weren't for me. There were a couple others I didn't really understand either. But overall, I loved the cover. Lots of variation of stories inside. It was like a real range of different splatterpunky themes.
I have to stop you there real quick. You said that you vibed with, and I was just like, oh my gosh, no, she didn't. No, she didn't. Oh, my gosh, when my kids are here on the weekends, I just, you know, we try to just really mess with them by trying to talk the, you know, the kids' lingo. And I'm like, oh, man, that was sus or that was cringe or, you know, I just. And they laugh just like that when they hear me say it because they know I, you know, don't know what I'm saying. So it's just
no, my little girl says that. No, she'll say, "Mom, that's sus. Don't do that." And she's 7. And it's like, did you really just say that?
Oh, I don't understand the kids. I really don't. You know, and they say that it's just the times, you know, and that, you know, we said that weird stuff too that our parents didn't like or whatever. You know, maybe that's true, but they've gotten dumber and dumber. My son, he's 19. Everything is cringe. Everything. That's cringe. Oh, my word. I'm like, it's cringe. And
my little girl
so
would
much.
Fleek for the longest time. She would be like, "It's on Fleek. That's not on Fleek. Why would you do that? It's not Fleeky." It's like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, it's awful. It just is awful. So, yeah. Okay. So 4 stars. That's pretty good. I can deal with that. I'm going to have to read some of these stories too. I have not yet, but it's on my shelf and I absolutely love the cover as well. And I think I should carry it around with me just to see if I
you
get
should.
Good reaction.
You definitely need to put it in your purse.
That would make an awesome shirt, though. Wouldn't that make an awesome shirt?
It really would.
It really
would. I posted
it
to TikTok. I didn't think it was going to let me post because I was like, oh, this is kind of like, you know, graphic. I was like, I'm going to post this. TikTok's going to tell me to take it down. It's still up there, and it got a pretty decent amount of views, so I was like, okay.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Samantha, and I can't wait to see what you have for us next week.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you, Samantha.
Stay lovely. Bye-bye.
She's always lovely.
I can't believe she didn't understand my story.
I'm going to have to read it. Yeah.
It's one of my favorites, actually. I remember writing it. It put me in a very dark place, I remember writing it. It took me a couple of days to come out of that. Because it is very intense and very... Anyway, read it for yourself. It's one of my favorites, I have to say. So you have to let me know what you think. But what have we got coming up next?
I'm super excited to announce our next guest. We have not talked to him. I looked it up 2019 was the last time we had him on our show. And
wow. Yeah.
Good Lord. I know. So, yeah, I'm just going to announce him. Our next guest of the evening, we have voice actor Mark Herrietta. Woo!
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
I can't believe
it's been so long. It doesn't seem that long since we last had you on the show. That's frightening.
I know. When Nexina told me that, I was like, what?
I go to Mark all the time when we have a guest that comes on the show and they're like, you know, I have an excerpt, but I'm really awful at reading. Or even if sometimes it's an older guest we've had on the show before and I remember that they were really bad at reading the excerpt, I will go to Mark and I'm like, are you bored? You just sitting around hoping I, you know, give you an excerpt? And he always performs. He always does it. And it always sounds so good. It's so amazing. So I always get excited. And yes, for our listeners, the commercial, the Panic Room commercial, that was read by Mark as well. And so I'm just so excited. I really am. And one of the last books that you were working on, I got to listen to a lot of the chapters and stuff. And oh, wow, it was good. It was so good. And when you said that you thought it was one of your best works, I was like, really? You because you've always been amazing. So that's what I thought anyway. So
that one, James, you mentioned when you were writing your story how it kind of took you to a dark place. Well, the one that we just finished editing and just got approved, it's going to be coming out very shortly, is a Hellbound book. And it's the same thing happened to me. Like there was a couple chapters where I had to walk away and I just had to kind of reset myself. Such a very powerful book and one that I am definitely like super proud that I got the chance to narrate it and I can't wait for it to be released into the world.
Fantastic.
Yeah, James, that was a giggling boy, and I'm gonna try to get Reland on the show as well with Mark at the same time. Yeah,
that is a very, very powerful, book. Yeah.
And R.A. Lynn was awesome in the chapters written from the little boy's perspective. I mean, we spent some time going back and forth on different ways of how to narrate that, and I think what we settled on is it's, you know, tells a story, but it's also heartbreaking just to listen to. Really, really cool.
So I have taken a look at your Amazon page and you narrate there are so many different genres that you do.
Mm-hmm.
There's even like spicy romance, James. He's got some spicy romance under his belt there.
Oh wow, cool.
I do quite a bit of romance. Actually, I just finished narrating with the editor right now. I just finished narrating a paranormal romance that'll be coming out in the near future. So it seems that kind of flip flop. So I'll do something a little darker, a little more horror / thriller. And then the next book will be a romance book, and then I'll be back to a horror novel and vice versa. So, and then interspersed in there are some of these full cast ensemble pieces where I just get to play characters and I just get to, although they seem to hire me a lot to die. I do a lot of death scenes. So a lot of screaming, a lot of guttural, which is always fun.
Yeah, what is your favorite to narrate? Do you have a favorite genre?
I really like the horror and the thriller. I think, when I'm narrating, I read them for pleasure as well. But when I'm narrating them, if it kind of the hairs on the back of my neck start to stand up, that to me is just a really cool feeling.
Mm.
And getting to put different character voices on and try different things is always fun.
Yeah. Yeah, like how do you keep track? I mean, do you keep notes and you know, or something like that? I mean, yeah, there's only so many voices. I think that a person could do so. Do you ever? And I guess did you does ever you know? Oh man, I used the voice for this person, and it was supposed to be this person. I mean, it just sounds so confusing. But wow.
Yeah, I definitely make notes. I definitely, as I'm going through my prep, I'll start to kind of get an idea. You know, one of the things one of my coaches said is, you know, the protagonist should always be you, right? It should always just be kind of your regular voice. So mm-hmm. So I try to make that right off the hop. And then as I'm kind of going through the book and kind of seeing, you know, what different characters are doing, how much are they in the book? Because the worst thing that could happen is, you know, you put something that's very vocally strenuous and on a character that you think is only going to be there for a couple of pages, and then it turns out they're the main character sidekick and they're with the entire time, and you're like, well, I'm pot committed now. And then by the end of it, your voice is just done. And so I definitely make notes, but it's fun to keep track of because a lot of these are just impressions. They're just people I've met, people I've seen, movies I've watched, and, you know, I'll be like, oh, that would be a good character for him. Perfect example, one of my favorites, I narrated a shark attack book called Scar, the one ship captain, he's like some crusty old, you know, barnacle sea captain who's trying to help hunt this shark, and it literally is a Jim Varney impression. You know, the guy, Ernest P. Worrell, you know, from like Ernest Goes to Camp and Ernest Goes to Prison, like those movies. It's literally my impression of him.
Nice. That's great.
Excellent.
I love that. Now, is there anything that you won't narrate? Is there anything, any scene or something that you've had to say, nope, I won't do that?
In terms of things like romance and things like that, no, not really. I've done male-female. I've had the opportunity to do male-male romance, and which, oddly enough, female listeners really seem to enjoy. So that doesn't really bother me. I tend to try to stay away from anything too political or anything too religious. I think it's just a super hypercharged environment, and so I like to stay away from some of those nonfiction genres.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so fascinated. I know we had. I would love to have like outtakes. I think that would be so funny to listen to. Yeah. We had an excerpt once from one of our narrators, and it wasn't polished. It was just a rough, and I wasn't expecting that. So to start listening, and you know, she would start a sentence, and you know, halfway through it, she'd mess up, and then she'd stop, and then she'd start again. And I mean, she's an amazing narrator. So to hear you know, all the mess ups and everything, I was like, wow, it's a lot more work than I think I even thought it was. I mean, you know, we just hear the finished product and we're like, oh, that's amazing. But I can't imagine how many, you know, damn it and, you know, and cursing goes into it. Yes. So I would love that. You can send me a little clip of just outtakes.
Right.
I would just
It's probably a similar process to when you're actually writing a book. You know, you start off and you're rough and you change it and swap it and curse and swear at it and then you do it again. And,
oh yeah.
But in the end, you know, it works out well.
Yeah.
I'm really happy that we've gone away from the old recording days where it was all tape. And if you needed to replace a mistake, you had to actually cut the tape with a razor and then splice it together.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now that, you know, digital, you just back up the marker and re-record it, which makes it so much easier.
Sounds like it. We have a clip that you brought.
We do.
Yeah. So tell us what it is. Yes.
So this is the book that I narrated. It's not my most recent book. It's one of the ones just previous to this, and it is it was a phenomenal story, and it's actually based on a true story, and it's an individual about a young boy who during World War II is taken to a Nazi concentration camp. And it outlines kind of what he went through in this concentration camp and how he escaped and reconnected with his family who he thought was dead and all of this. So just an amazing, powerful, character-driven story. And so this is actually a clip from that.
All right.
Okay, off we go.
November 5th, 1944. He huddled in the corner of the crowded freight car. His knees were tight against his chest, his face buried in his hands. He did not notice the oppressive heat, the stench, or the anguished cries of the people pressed tightly against him. He was convinced that the terrible mistakes he had made were written all over his face. Yet except for the occasional accidental kick or shove, no one seemed to pay him much heed. Everyone was caught up in their own terror. Still, guilt and shame dulled his senses. Even when the train lurched forward and started on its slow journey toward the undisclosed yet ominous destination, he remained immobile, lost in his private nightmare. How could he have been so stupid? Just this morning, he had prided himself on finally acting like a man. Now he knew that he had simply behaved like the foolish 13-year-old boy that he was. What have I done? He asked himself over and over again. It was only a week ago that the plans had started to take shape in the boy's mind. With each passing day, he had taken daring steps closer to revisiting the life and the loved ones he had been forced to erase from his memory 6 years earlier. But instead of the positive outcome he had anticipated, his efforts had brought him here, to this train of horrors with nothing but regrets as his companion. Chapter 1. October 30th, 1944. The idea had first come to Hendrik in Brother Ferenc's religion class, his knees touching those of his best friend Ivan beneath the surface of the wooden desk they shared. They were sitting in the ancient yet well-preserved school building, adjacent to the equally old Franciscan monastery. Hendrik glanced through the tall, narrow window at the gnarled stand of oaks that lined the eastern slope of the Sashi, Eagle Mountain, district of Budapest. He and Ivan and the other boys had climbed those trees numerous times. To them, it was as vital a part of their formation as the education they received at the hands of the Franciscan brothers at the elite Assisi School for Boys.
All of you already are or will be 13 years old at some point during this school year, and it is time for you to begin your preparation for the sacrament of confirmation.
The friar's voice boomed over the heads of the neat rows of boys sitting in front of him. Brother Ferenc was a slight man, his back bent with age. The rough brown cloth of the Franciscan friars hung loosely over his shoulders. The strength of his voice contrasted with his frail physical appearance. Vitality radiated from his small gray eyes and wisdom from his words, which always commanded attention and respect.
Confirmation is your gateway to manhood. Brother Ferenc paused and gave a meaningful glance around the room.
Hendrik and Ivan nudged each other and exchanged a quick smile. To be considered men as soon as possible had been their aim for the last several months, ever since the arrival of the German Nazis in Budapest that March. Many people in the country referred to that arrival as an invasion by the Nazis and their followers, but some were happy about the change, like those in the Hungarian Arrow Cross Party. The previous government of Hungary had been overthrown, and in its stead, the Arrow Cross had been given full power over the country. They imposed their rules, imposed them mainly on the Jewish population of the city, whose rights were suddenly greatly limited. All Jews now had to wear a yellow star whenever they were on the streets. They were forced to live in specially designated buildings or in the newly erected Jewish ghetto. Most of their belongings had been confiscated. Jewish children could no longer attend schools. Jewish stores and businesses had been closed or taken over by others. There were even rumors that many Jews were being deported to concentration camps, driven out of the country by force, and killed. Henrik mostly tried to ignore these events, pushing the threat to the Jews into the far recesses of his mind. He had many other secret thoughts and memories hidden there. Ignoring what was happening with the Jews wasn't all that difficult for him. He had never actually witnessed any of the incidents reported in the papers or on the radio. He and his family now lived on the Buda side of the Danube River, far from the Jewish quarter of Pest. What was of more pressing importance to Henrik was maintaining his friendship with Ivan and their current project of strengthening their bodies. For Ivan and his family, the German occupation was a welcome turn of events. Ivan's father had been a longtime member of the underground Arrow Cross, formerly outlawed. Now that the Arrow Cross was in power, he was officially promoted to the rank of sergeant.
I didn't want that to end.
I was waiting
yeah.
for more. I'm disappointed
too.
Now. I was enjoying that. Well, Blue, that was really good. Very, very good.
Thank you.
Now, how did you decide this is what you wanted to do?
So it's actually funny. My wife and I were sitting around the house about 5-6 years ago now. And, you know, it was kind of one of those evenings where long day at work and you're just kind of like, you know what, is this really what I wanted to do? And I had done theater as a kid and took drama through school and all of that, and then kind of moved into a corporate role after high school. And, you know, my wife and I were talking and she's like, you know, I always thought you'd be doing something with your voice, like cartoons or something like that. And it was just like a light bulb went off. And it was kind of one of those moments of like, you're right. I should be doing that. And so, you know, immediately started, you know, taking classes, taking acting classes, you know, working with coaches to enhance my skill set, and then getting demos made, and then starting to book work. And yeah, here we are.
Wow. That is, you know, being on this side of things now, when I get to hear the different auditions that come in to Hellbound, and even when I have to go searching for a voice, I am just I'm in awe. I really, it's so. I mean, I can the talent. I had one time just to read an excerpt that I wrote it, so I knew it pretty well, and I was just. Terrible. I really was.
She really was. She was absolutely terrible. And she said the funny thing was she just got quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker. At the end, it was just like a blur. It was just like, what? Oh, what are you doing? What are you doing? She's actually, that was in the early days of the show. She's actually not allowed to read out loud anymore. So bless her.
It's true. Yeah. And I wanted to, you know, okay, and the people who listen into the show sometimes they'll, you know, message me and tell me, you know, oh, I love your voice. You sound so cute and whatever. And, you know, when I hear it back, because I put all our shows like on our Vimeo channel afterwards, and sometimes I hear it back and I cringe every time I hear my voice. Do you still have that moment where you hear yourself back and you're like, oh, that's not what I sound like?
No, I mean, probably when I first started, I did, but very quickly, you
that's
almost
true.
Are like, I'm able to separate kind of when I'm in the booth and I'm performing. And then when I come out to edit or I kind of come out to listen, I actually leave the booth and I sit at my editing bay, and I kind of, my brain almost switches, right? So I'm listening for things. I'm listening for the performance, but I'm also listening for, like, if their mouth clicks, did I flub a word, you know, all of that sort of stuff. So it almost becomes more technical when I'm listening to my own voice now, as opposed to, enjoying it. Like, I'll be honest, I think I've only ever listened to one of my audiobooks.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Other than like editing it and so on, but like actually going back and being like, oh, I want to listen to this. That doesn't usually happen.
Now, do you what, more than one project at a time, or just one book? And yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely have multiple projects on the go. I try to limit it to with audiobooks. I try to limit it to at least 1 hour recording in the morning and then one in the afternoon. And what I'll try to do is, I'll, depending on the source material, I may switch, you know, from book one to book two, to try to balance it out. And but yeah, between that, I'm also, I do a lot of documentary narration. I do video game work. I do commercial work. So yeah, there's a lot of times where it's like, and then auditioning. You know, 90% of my job is the auditioning, and you know, the 10% is actually booking the work. The majority of the time is definitely doing those auditions. So yeah, it's definitely a lot of talking. I've gotten very used to being very verbose in my day.
Do you have to? Do you ever have to do anything to, you know, preserve your voice? Like, do you, you know, like special tea or, you know, I mean,
yes.
I just can imagine.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have special tea. I have lozenges that I use.
Yeah.
And then there are sometimes, depending on the sessions, like if there's a lot of screaming or yelling, you know, your voice just goes out, and then it's complete vocal rest. It's
wow.
You know, as little talking as humanly possible. Lots of water. Lots of, you know, to try to get it back. And you know, there's been times, you know, I love to do karaoke. I have friends, and we always get together and we love to do karaoke, and there are days where I have to say, nope, I can't do anything tonight because I have a big recording session tomorrow, so I need to be able to preserve what I have. So yeah, it's and you always want to warm up, you always want to make sure you're doing, you know, your vocal trills and working the muscles and getting the muscles ready to perform.
Now, do you read through the books like all the way through before you start?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah.
I do.
You must be a fast reader.
I am, and the main reason I do that is one, it helps me kind of solidify the character arcs. You know, there's nothing worse than you think a character is going one way and then all of a sudden it goes another way. So you want to make sure you understand the emotion of that character throughout the entire book. And you want to understand, you know, who's the villains, who's the good guys, who's your, you know, who's around and deserves a special voice and who is just a passing character that you can just kind of just throw your normal voice at it or something like that. So I always read through it, make my notes, kind of who's who in the zoo, and it also helps minimize the mistakes. So when I first started, I was probably to do 1 hour of finished audio, including recording, editing, mastering. It was close to a 3-to-1 ratio, so 3 hours of work for 1 hour of finished audio.
Wow.
And I found that by, you know, doing the notes and reviewing the book and having that, I'm down now to about maybe an hour and a half, hour 40 minutes.
Better.
For a finished hour. So I'm able to get through projects a heck of a lot quicker.
We are almost out of time. I have to say that the next time we have you on the show, it's definitely not going to be, you know, in 4 years or something like the last time. I can't believe it's been that long. I just was like, wow,
crazy.
Really? So, yeah, and I do definitely want to get you on the show with Raylan, so we're going to have to make that happen because that was awesome. But,
yeah,
so give us a plug real quick or where we can find you.
Definitely. So my website is hvoaudio.com, and I'm on all the socials except Twitter, but Facebook, it's you just type in Harriet the Voiceovers. Instagram, Harriet the VO. I can't remember TikTok right now. And then LinkedIn is, you would just search for my name, Mark Harriet.
Awesome. And for all our listeners out there, if you need a narrator, Mark Harriet is your man. So, I can't wait to have you back, Mark. Thank you so much.
An absolute pleasure, Mark. Thank you for joining us.
Oh,
good night.
I love it. Every chance I get to talk to you guys. Have a great night.
Have a great rest of your evening. Bye-bye. You know, I was fascinated at the process, the amount of patience that
right.
The narrators, the voice actors must have is certainly a lot more than I have, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, we take it for granted. We listen to the polished product and, you know, you don't realize the work that goes on behind the scenes. So, but anyway, we could waffle on, but it is unfortunately time when we have to say goodnight, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
Good night.
Toi.